Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, so I thought I'd talk a little bit about one particular angle on Rosh Chodesh, which is as follows. The Sfarim say that Rosh Chodesh was given to women. It's a special Yom Tov for women. The Torah is Lashon. There's a minhag that women don't do melacha on Rosh Chodesh. What does that mean? Halacha l'maisa. So the Sfarim say minhag midoros kadumim lema'et ba'asiyas melacha b'Rosh Chodesh. They do less than normal. Women, Rosh Chodesh is their special day. The Yerushalmi says Yoma diyarcha minhag, that the fact of doing melacha on Rosh Chodesh is an old minhag. That language in Yerushalmi, many of Mefarshim assume, is referring to this minhag of women not doing melacha on Rosh Chodesh. So the question is, like, where did this come from? So the answer which is given, Tosfos quotes it, and in Megillah, is that women received Rosh Chodesh as their special reward because they didn't do Chet HaEgel. They weren't involved in Chet HaEgel. So what exactly is the connection? How did the not doing Chet HaEgel lead to getting Rosh Chodesh? What Chet HaEgel wasn't on Rosh Chodesh. So the Sfarim on the Mefarshim say, the Das HaKenim on the Chumash, the Mefarshim on the Chumash explain as follows. The women didn't give their jewelry for Rosh Chodesh, for Chet HaEgel. Says the men gave the jewelry. There's a pasuk that says Vayisparku, doesn't mention the women, that they took the jewelry. So some say the men did not take the women's jewelry, only the men gave the jewelry. Others say they ripped it off the women's ears to take it. No, they took the women's jewelry, but they ripped it off their ears. Either way, the women didn't want to give their jewelry by Chet HaEgel. Okay. Then it came time to build the Mishkan. Now by the Mishkan, the women were very enthusiastic. The pasuk says, "Vayavoha nashim kol nadiv lev." The men came along with the women to donate to the Mishkan. So it sounds like the women were in the lead. The men came along. Al means along with the women. So the Das HaKenim says the women were very excited by the Mishkan to give their gold, their jewelry for the gold of the Mishkan. Oh, now that explains it. When the women did not give the gold for Chet HaEgel. So you could say, why didn't they give the gold for Chet HaEgel? Because they want their jewelry. Women like jewelry. They want to keep their jewelry. So how do you know that the fact that they didn't give the jewelry for Chet HaEgel was because it was a terrible thing, Chet HaEgel? It's because they liked their jewelry. Oh, when the Mishkan came, they jumped to the front. They were before the men, more enthusiastic. That's the pshat. That's what Das HaKenim says. That's the pshat, that when they gave the jewelry for the Mishkan, that was Megala. That showed that they didn't give to the Chet HaEgel was L'shem Shemayim. So the real time when we understood the women's motivation for Chet HaEgel happened by the Mishkan. And the Das HaKenim says the Mishkan was dedicated on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the women were given Rosh Chodesh Nisan as their special day. And then the Das HaKenim says, along with that day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they got all the other Rosh Chodashim. That's what the Das HaKenim says. That Agav Osa, this is the Lashon. Agav Osa Rosh Chodesh, Misharmu says Kol Rosh Chodesh Hashana. It's all based on the Rosh Chodesh of the Mishkan, and they got all the other Rosh Chodashim as well. So that's the Pashup shot. What the Das HaKenim says, that women ended up, because of Chet HaEgel, they ended up having the Zechus of Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Nothing happens by chance in Yahadus. So what's the connection? This is a technical connection. Is there a deeper connection between women and Rosh Chodesh? So the Mefarshim, there are Pshatim. Tadaki Moshe gives a Pshat. There are standard Pshatim that are in the Svarim. So I thought of on top of, it's always good to learn the standard Pshatim. Always good. But I thought maybe on top of the standard pshatim, two other ideas, Bez Hashem, and I actually mentioned these to Reb Nevinsel a long time ago, and he said Yashikoyach. So, okay, Baruch Hashem. So he liked these ideas. Okay. So idea number one is as follows: on Rosh Chodesh, the moon is hidden; you can't see it. On Rosh Chodesh, the moon is between the sun and the earth. You know, the moon doesn't produce its own light. So the moon reflects the light of the sun. So Rosh Chodesh happens right around the Molad. when we celebrate Rosh Chodesh, it's right near the Molad. The Molad is the moment the moon goes between the sun and the earth. Can't see it. So Rosh Chodesh is about being hidden, being tsanua. And this is something which is very crucial for women. Snias applies to men too, for sure. For sure. But in our Masorah, it applies even more to women. Snias is how you dress, that's for sure. But tznius is much more than how you dress. It's how you live your life. Hatznei aleches. You walk with tznius, with Hashem, the pasuk says. So tznius means that you run the home, you're in the home, and you recognize that's a very good thing to be doing. And this has been the role of women from the very, very, very beginning of Yadus. By Sarah, when the Malachim come to tell Avram he's going to have a son, so they say, where's Sarah? He says, Hinei Ba'ohel, she's in the tent. That's where she was supposed to be. And Rashi says, they made Avram feel good that he said his wife was in the tent. So Sarah was in the tent, and that's where she was supposed to be. Later, when Eliezer looks for a wife for Yitzchak, so what midah was Eliezer looking for? What midah was he looking for? Chesed. Everyone says chesed, which is true. That's what the whole parsha is about. It's about chesed. But there's an amazing kliyaker that Rav Willig Shlita has spent 30, 40 years now making famous. The kliyaker says that even more than chesed, he was looking for tznius. How more? Because it's the first word of his tefillah. When Eliezer starts his tefillah, the first word of the tefillah is hakreina. Let it happen. So she's interested with hakre. Let it happen that I meet the girl at the well. So why mikra, why hakre? So Rav Willig says, the Kliyakar says, we'll just quote the Kliyakar. The Kliyakar says as follows. He wanted a wife for Yitzchak, and he's going to the well. He had to find someone. He said, the well is the meeting place. But he didn't want a girl that's always out in the well, outside. He wanted a girl who's used to being at home and has that type of sneeze as well. So he's stuck. He's in a bind here. How's he going to find her? He's going to the well, but he wants a girl who's not going to be at the well. So he's stuck. So the Kliyakar says, that's Hakre. Hashem, let it happen b'mikra. By chance, that she happens to be out there. When I want to find a wife for Yitzchak. And that's what happened. This was the first time Rivka was ever out. How does the Kliyakar know that? Because later, it says, he wanted to know who she was. It says, Basmiya, who are you? Basmiya, what's your name? That's how you go and talk to a girl. I don't know. In Hask, maybe you probably in Hask, but you know the names already. Whatever, but you know, okay, not gonna ask. You know the name. You know, okay, you know the WhatsApp number. You need it for what's it called? What's the education thing called? Academics. You need it for academics. So you need all 25 because maybe there'll be a replacement for academics. So you know all the specs fakers. Maybe so you have like 28 WhatsApp numbers for academics. So you know the name, you know the WhatsApp numbers. Anyway, it's weird. Why he asks her what your name is? So the Kliyakar says, yeah. He asked everyone else. The Torah says, no one knew her. No one knew her. That's what the Kliyakar says. No, he asked, she was the first time she was ever seen. No one ever saw her there. Then he asked, he was stuck. So he said, who are you? It's amazing. It's a beautiful pshat. Those two, that's what Wilkes Kliyakar. He's been saying this in Shir. I have it on tape from like 35 years ago and he's been saying the same thing. Well, so Taka, when Yitzchak married Rivka, so Chazal say that the tent was the same. Now, so Sarah was happy to be in the tent, and Rivka was happy in the tent. The tent's a good place to be. The tent's a very good place to be. Because the tent of the Avos, and the tents that we hope to have in our homes, that's where the Shechina was. The Shechina was in the tent. There's a famous idea, it's in many Sfarim talk about it, that every Jewish home is supposed to be like a mikdash, a home for the Shechina. Where does that come from? It comes from the first Jewish home. The first Jewish homes, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, were homes for the Shechina. There are a lot of sources that say this. One good one is the Ramban. The Ramban at the beginning of the Hakdama to Shmos. The Ramban has a whole approach that Sefer Bereishis the Ramban has an approach. What is Sefer Shmos? He says Sefer Shmos is a Sefer of Golus and Geula. That's the Ramban's approach to Shmos, and that explains a lot of things. That's the Sefer Tzgolus and Geula. And the Ramban interprets that Geula means getting back to what you had originally. So the Ramban explains that Shmos is about getting the Mishkan, and the Shechina rested on the Mishkan. So when the Shechina was resting on the Mishkan, Am Yisrael had gotten back to its original level of the Avos back in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? Because the Avos had the Shechina in their tents. So the Avos had the Shechina in their tents. That was the original status we had. And then by the end of Shmos with the Mishkan, the end of Shmos ends with the Shechina on the Mishkan. Oh, that's the Geula. And the Ramban says an amazing line. Ashavu amaylas Avos, and they return to the level of their forefathers. Shayasod eloka ale ohalehem. The council of God was tense. That's sort of a pasuk taken from Iyuv. That Hashem's Shechina was on their tents. Veheim heim ha-merkava. It's an amazing sentence. And they were their merkava. A merkava is a chariot. So kaviyachol, Hashem is floating through this world on the tents of the Avos. They are the chariot. They are the merkava. It's an amazing sentence. That the tents of the Avos were the merkava of Hashem, kaviyachol. Ve'oz, and then nechshuvu geulin. So, it was good to be in the tent. Sarah was happy in the tent. She was with the Shechina the whole day. You get out there, so when you learn, the Shechina is there when you learn. When you interact with people, you have to, I don't know, you do the best you can. But in the house, you have the Shechina 24/7. Sarah was happy in the tent. Rivka was happy in the tent. So this idea that you value this aspect of Tznius, building a home, putting the Shechina in your home, having the Shechina to come in your home, this is something that that women have a special connection to, because women take care of the home. They're in the home in general. They run the home more than their husbands do. And this might be a very deep connection between women and Rosh Chodesh, that it's hidden. And a woman's role often is more hidden behind the scenes. But that's where you build the Shechina. And the wife sets the tone very often. And you want to have the Shechina in your house. Rav Willard in the same tapes talks about this idea of, it's not just how you dress, how you go through life. He mentions two things that I want to mention, because I've seen them also, about things that are not such a good aspect of Tznius. So Rav Willard's Masada Kedushin a lot. And the last couple of years, he's been giving shiurim in YU to the Smicha guys. It's a great program. The Smicha guys, and he gives six classes on the marriage ceremony and things like that. Six shiurim. So one of them he talks about, you dance in front of the chassan and kala. Okay, that's been an old custom. So there's a new thing in my life. I think it's 25 years old that I remember it. That the girls come and dance in front of the chassan and kala too. It's terrible. It's not a good thing. And you have a similar thing that when you go to the yichud room, so the old custom is that you dance the chassan and kala to the yichud room and everyone's dancing backwards in front of the chassan and kala going backwards. So again, the last maybe 20-ish years, you have the kala's friends dancing behind the chassan and kala also, going, sort of coming that way as well. But Vilk talks about it, and he says, Vilk's big. He's just like a back. You get wedged in there. He says, sometimes I try to get in there if I'm able to get in there. So he's like there. Once he's there, they're afraid of him. So they back off. He tries to get in there like he's walking behind the chassan and kala with a few people. That's what he says, being a line. That was his muscle. He's a linebacker. All right. That's what he says. Now, those aren't good things. Now, how does this apply to you? So I'm telling you that the same way you should be looking for a young lady who understands this idea of tznius. And the home is a wonderful place to be. You build a shechina in the home. So they hear these same speeches. And this is what they think, right? They hear a lot about. So you've got to be the type of guy that those girls want to marry. Serious Ben Torah. You want to have the shechina in your home. But you want the shechina in your home in a real way. It takes a lot to want to have the shechina in your home. Your home's going to be full of Torah and mitzvos and avodas Hashem. It's a very serious thing. So when you're thinking about, you're choosing, these are the couple of years, the young lady to look for. So this idea, just be like the imahos, the shechina in the house. They love being in the house. I'm sure Sarah loved being in the house. Rivka, they had the shechina 24/7. Merkava. It's an amazing phrase of the Ramban that the Shechina was going through the world on the tents of the Imos. So that's one pshat. And then there's another pshat. This I also discussed with Rav Lef Vashlita. He also thought it was a good pshat. As follows. On Rosh Chodesh, not much happens. You offer carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. We say halo, there's a minog, there's a minog to say halo. Not much happens on Rosh Chodesh. But the real impact of Rosh Chodesh sometimes comes later. Much later. See, on Rosh, what happens? Rosh Chodesh is, Beis Din declares when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Let's take the month of Nisan. Beis Din decides when Rosh Chodesh should be on a Monday or a Tuesday. A Tuesday or a Wednesday. Let's say Tuesday or a Wednesday. So the date of Pesach is Tesvav Nisan. So, but Hashem doesn't decide when Pesach's going to be. We decide. Beis Din decides when Pesach's going to be. Because Beis Din decides, will Rosh Chodesh be on Tuesday or Wednesday? So if Rosh Chodesh is on Tuesday, that means two Tuesdays later is going to be Pesach, Tesvav Nisan. And if Rosh Chodesh is on Wednesday, then Pesach's going to be two Wednesdays later, Tesvav Nisan. So on the third Tuesday in Nisan, you're eating a sandwich at 9:30 a.m. A bread sandwich. Is that mutter? No, is it mutter, or is it an iser gares to eat that sandwich? So God doesn't decide that. Beis Din decides that. If Beis Din made Chodesh on Wednesday, sandwich at 9:30 on Tuesday is mutter. If Beis Din made Rosh Chodesh on Tuesday, whoa, then it's Pesach. So it's an amazing koach. Kiddush HaChodesh is an amazing koach that Beis Din creates Kiddusha. Beis Din is the Shliach of Am Yisrael. That's what the Sfarim say. Rav Soloveitchik developed that theme a lot. So Beis Din is creating real Kiddusha. That's an amazing thing. In other words, is that third Tuesday of Nisan holy or not holy? God doesn't decide. Beis Din decides. It's the most incredible power. It's an amazing power. So Beis Din on Rosh Chodesh makes this declaration. Nothing happens then. Kimat, nothing happens then. There is a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Kimat, nothing happens. And then 2 weeks later, woo! This sandwich, is it mutter or an iser kares? That's a big difference. So the impact of Kiddush HaChodesh is delayed. And it's a huge impact, but it's delayed. So you find a similar thing with the role of women, that women don't have as many mitzvahs as men, but the impact of what women do comes much greater. This is Rav Lef's pshat. There's a, you know, it says women say shalos ani isha. So how do you understand? I'm sorry, men say shalos ani isha. So what's that bracha supposed to mean? So the Rishonim say that we thank Hashem we have more mitzvahs than women, and they have fewer mitzvahs. So Rav Lef explains the idea in as follows. By men, the way we go through our lives, we get immediate satisfaction from things. You have a mitzvah, you do the mitzvah, did the mitzvah, great. Done, got the mitzvah, and you learn Torah, I feel good, I learned Torah, you feel good. A lot of what women do, the satisfaction is way, way, way delayed. Let's say you keep the house clean. Gets dirty the next day. You make supper tonight. Got to make supper again the next day. You finish the laundry, then starts building up. So all these things, there's a drudgery every day, and it's hard to get super excited. Oh gosh, I got all the laundry done. Everything's hanging up. It's all done. You know, in 2 days, the bin's going to be full again. All these things. When do women get this big satisfaction? 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years, you're at a Seder. Woo! And you have your kids and your, maybe, Zat Hashem, your grandkids and all these, and you see what you've built, all those dinners and all those keeping the house going and all the laundry and running the house and keeping the house a calm place. Calm place. And having the Shechina there. You have a house with the Shechina. Woo! Then years later, the act of all of those years comes out. So maybe that's another deep connection between Rosh Chodesh and women, that by Rosh Chodesh the impact often, but in some months it's a huge impact, but it's late. So this is Rav Lef's shot of Shalos Ani Isha, that by men we thank Hashem that everything we do right away. I did a mitzvah. I feel good. I got the mitzvah done. And there's that by women. A lot of what they do, which is certainly a mitzvah. It's the greatest mitzvah. You're bringing the shechina into the world. It's hard to get more of a mitzvah than that. But it's a type of activity where the satisfaction is much more long term. So it's the same thing that we live in a world where this is the Rav Tursky Shlita's language, the egalitarian push, that men and women are the same. They're not the same. Men and women have different roles. The line he uses is, the Torah doesn't discriminate against women, against one sex. It discriminates between the genders. That's the Lashon, that's the right Lashon. It discriminates between their differences. So it's important that when you're looking for someone to marry, that she values these things. Women have careers now a lot of times out of the house, half the day, part of the day. That's normal, that happens. You want to get a sense of what are her primary goals, and what's she looking to accomplish? A home for the Shechina, a home to raise a family, and also you do other things as well. Very important. And I'll say again, how does this apply to you? If you want to marry a young lady who has the right attitude, they hear the same speeches, all of them. And they're looking for guys that want to build a home and want to have a serious place, learning in the home, and a Baruch Hashem in the home. It starts now. It starts in the next, some of you guys are leaving in Pesach. It starts the next 2 months. You're building and building and building yourselves now. So Baruch Hashem, you can succeed and survive and to thrive when you get back, and to be a serious Obed Hashem. A serious Obed who wants to build a Shechina, bring the Shechina into the house, to be a home that's almost like the Merkava. Whew, it's hard to, you can't beat, I don't know, I can't beat that. It's certainly hard to beat that. That your house is a Merkava for the Shechina. So this is something that for us, we have to work on making ourselves the right type of young men that women who have the right attitude about these ideas would want to marry. It's a very serious thing. This is a major challenge. Because, you know, this is to have a chance to build a home, to be home that's a home for the Shechina. And it's the same thing in Sneas in our own lives, and how we go through our own life, having to be in the front, having to be it's always better to lead a more private life. Sometimes you're stuck. Teachers are stuck. They're out in public. Rav Shechter always gives you, you're stuck. Sometimes you're stuck. You're out in public more. But to recognize that the most important things, the most important building of things happens in the home, in the quiet of the home, building the Shechina. I received a letter from a Talmud after on Hanukkah, after Hanukkah. So he told me that he and his wife, at the nights of Hanukkah, they decided every night of Hanukkah that they read a little piece of Torah, and after light the Hanukkah candles, and they discuss it. So once they use my sefer one night, he wrote me a comment about it, and I started crying. It's amazing. This young couple, they want to have the Shechina in their house. So, you know, Hanukkah came out this time of year. You know, at the time of year, all the parties are happening. So there are a million things to do on a night of Hanukkah in America. You're living in New York City. There are a million things you can do. And they light the candles, and they stay home, and they read a sefer, and they discuss it, something about Hanukkah. That's the Shechina. That's in Merkava. That's in Merkava. And it was a beautiful letter. That's what he wants to do. So that's something all of us should want to do. And these might be two ideas connecting women and Rosh Chodesh. And for us, we have to make sure that we want these things as well for ourselves and for our homes, that then we'll be fitting to be the right husbands for these types of young ladies. Okay, we'll stop here. Before closing, I want to share some more ideas from Rav Meir Tversky's Shlita. He has written important articles on this topic, and specifically, he wrote a crucially important article titled Masorah and the Role of the Jewish Woman. The ultimate specific focus was explaining why all Gedolei Yisrael agree the ordination of women is completely against halacha. But in getting to that, he develops the themes of the role of the Jewish woman, and I wanted to share some of his ideas, which I think dovetail well with some of the ideas presented in the Sicha. Our final representative quote is from the Maal commentary on Tehillim. The pasuk says, "For our sons are like saplings, nurtured from their youth. Our daughters are the cornerstones, crafted in palatial form." Kizavios. Malbim explains the comparison of Benos Yisrael to the cornerstones of a building. Our daughters resemble the cornerstones of a palace. The structure of a palace depends upon the correct, straight placement of its corners. Similarly, Benos Yisrael are modest, residing at home. Nevertheless, they determine the character of the home. The overall conduct of the home reflects their righteousness. The Rav's portrait of the feminine Tzelem Elokim reveals the profound nature and true depth of the Jewish woman's tznius. Of course, modest dress and behavior are crucial, indispensable expressions of tznius. But they are only external expressions. A woman's avodas Hashem being concentrated in the privacy of the home is also a key, crucial expression of tznius. Let me read that again. A woman's avodas Hashem being concentrated in the privacy of the home is also a key, crucial expression of tznius. But this too only reflects but does not constitute the essence of modesty. Ultimately, a woman's tznius consists of her rich inner life, which is hidden from view, an inner strength which inter alia allows her to imperceptibly mold character and inspire behavior. Therein lays the ultimate tznius, the focus on inwardness and inner experience. Publicity and public roles are antithetical to the feminine Tzelem Elokim, which emphasizes inwardness. An isha tznua focused on authentic inwardness for herself and others, enjoying a rich inner life and eschewing the inauthenticity and vulgarity of extroversion and ostentatiousness, naturally lives self-effacingly and dresses and acts modestly. Then Rav Tversky continues, this yesod of the woman's role primarily being in the home and its importance and its value runs counter to what's prevalent in the Western world nowadays. And he describes what he calls as the ideational assimilation. He says as follows. We tend to think of assimilation in concrete, practical terms, eating treifchil, Shabbos, etc. And obviously such behaviors are painful instances of assimilation, Rahman al-Islam. But assimilation often begins more subtly. It often begins in the realm of thought, ideas, and values. Practical assimilation with its frightening manifestations is often the result of ideational and axiological assimilation. Ideational assimilation occurs when we absorb ideas and values antithetical to Torah from the surrounding culture. Often these ideas and values imperceptibly penetrate our minds and hearts by osmosis. Having penetrated our minds, they dictate our mindset. Sometimes the infection of assimilation reaches so deeply within our being that we mistake transient Western societal values for absolute universal values. Then we proceed to zealously, self-righteously reinterpret, in reality, obviously misinterpret, Torah accordingly. To be specific, Western society is aggressively egalitarian. It equates equality with uniformity and diversity with inequality. This Western social axiom stands in marked contrast to the traditional Jewish view. In the words of the Rav, quote, the halacha has discriminated between axiological equality pertaining to their divine essence and metaphysical uniformity at the level of existential personal experience. Men and women are different persona, endowed with singular qualities and assigned distinct axiological equality should not level up the uniqueness of these two sexual persons. Over the past half century, Western society has denigrated traditional women's roles, attributing them to a misogynist, patriarchal society. Once again, the Rav has formulated the Torah outlook. The narrative in the Bible that both the male and female were created in the image of God suffices to refute the misogynist tradition. The Bible ever sees the uniqueness of man expressed in his ability to withdraw, to sacrifice, in his giving of himself to others, in his craving for communion with Hashem. Therefore, there is hardly any cogent reason to place the worth of man above that of woman. On the contrary, sacrificial action is more characteristic of woman than of man. Both of these axiomatic Western values, i.e., egalitarianism and denigration of traditional woman's role, have infiltrated and affected our minds and hearts.
They represent insidious ideational assimilation, deeply disturbing and entirely intolerable in its own right, but they are also fueling practical assimilation, and if unchecked, will continue to do so, and at a frightening pace. And finally, one more quote from the Rav regarding the woman's role. Unquestionably, a woman's mandate to cultivate and maintain uncompromising sneas at all times is, privilege notwithstanding, a perennial challenge. Moreover, undoubtedly it is true that being called upon to resist contemporary society influences poses an additional challenge to the modern Jewish woman in devoting herself to authentic avodas Hashem. It was with this perennial challenge, with its added contemporary dimension in mind, that the Rav penned the following lines. The biblical woman is modest, humble, self-effacing. She enters the stage when she is called upon, acts her part with love and devotion in the dim of the stage, and then leaves softly, without applause, and without the enthusiastic response of the audience, which is hardly aware of her. It is quite interesting that although Abraham survived Sarah by 38 years, his historical role came to an end with Sarah's passing. Isaac leaves the stage together with Rivka, and Yaakov relinquishes his role to Yosef with the untimely death of Rachel. Without Sarah, there would be no Avram, no Isaac were it not for Rivka, no Yaakov without Rachel. The halacha was cognizant of the greatness of the covenantal mother when it formulated the rule that Kedushas Yisrael, one's status as a Jew, can only be transmitted through the woman. The Lech was also conscious of the loneliness and the tragic note in the feminine commitment when it accepted a seemingly contradictory rule that the child takes his father's name and family status. The Rav, of course, expresses things better than anyone could, and these are important ideas. The role of the woman in the home as a primary role and with incredibly important value, bringing the Shekhinah into the home, influencing her husband and her family from the home, and having the very powerful inner world of Avodas Hashem primarily from the home, has been the traditional role of the Jewish woman, as explained by many sources and expressed beautifully and strongly by the Rav. And I would encourage everyone to find Rav Twersky's articles on these topics. They're available on torahweb.org. Okay, we'll stop here.